Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to CPA Review and More. The purpose of my podcast originally was to cover CPA review topics because I own a CPA review course, but we found out that people wanted more than that. So we brought in people like Sean Smith, Dr. Sean Smith. He will talk about cryptocurrency, and we've spoken about every other, like advisory services and what you have to do, what you have to study, all right, to actually get into the consulting area, which is becoming a very big area, all right, in accounting. In fact, the number one revenue of the big four comes from their consulting or advisory services. Public accounting audits are not the big revenue anymore. It's the advisory services. So we've brought in different people from all over the country to talk about what's involved in getting into that area. And along the way, all right, I was very pleased to meet Dr. Sean Stein Smith, okay? He actually had a longer name. We had a short now.
Yeah.
Right? It was Sean Smith. Well, I can't even think of a funny comment. But anyway, all right. Sean is a, can I call you just Sean?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Call me Master.
No. Master. No. Okay.
Yeah, Master. All right. You are assistant professor at the Lehman College.
Yes, sir.
Lehman College is the School of Business for City College.
Actually, one of the 27 colleges that's part of the CU NY system. So it's its own college, undergrad college on a gorgeous campus in the Bronx, New York.
You know, my mother's family was all from the Bronx.
Okay, nice. And,
we lived on Long Island. I've mentioned this. For those that don't know where Long Island is, it's a Long Island outside of New York. No, I grew up there, and my parents, they loved the food in New York. So every weekend we'd go to a supermarket in the Bronx, all right, and get all of this delicatessen stuff, whitefish, all this stuff, all right, which if you're from another state, you may not know what that is. But I actually, during my college years, I got a real estate license and I actually rented apartments in the Bronx.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it because I was like 19 years old. And these people own all these apartment buildings in the Bronx, and it was a lot nicer at one time, all right? They would deal with me, and they would call me, hey, kid, do you know what you're doing? This type of thing. So anyway, I established a very good relationship with a lot of these people, but I enjoyed that. And actually, I made good money. The commissions were very good, all right? So anyway, I know the Bronx very well, and I don't know what the Bronx is like now. Where is this in the Bronx, by the way?
So it's right in the, I guess it's a few blocks away from where Fordham is. It's on
Fordham. Oh, Fordham Road.
Fordham is, yeah. So it's right off of Bedford Park.
Yeah.
Boulevard.
Yeah. Fordham Road used to be really nice back in the 70s, 60s, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm really dating myself. All right. But they had, we used to go shopping there. There's Fordham Road. It's like, I don't know what Fordham Road is like. But, I went through the Bronx once since I graduated college, and it looked like Fort Apache, the Bronx, I think they called it. It was really leveled in many respects. All right. Is Bronx coming back?
Absolutely. I would say so, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there are always going to be areas that are, better off than others, but overall, absolutely.
Good, good. Well, anyway, Dr. Sean Stein Smith, he is into cryptocurrency. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, I know our currency is the dollar, $5, $10 bill. What is this cryptocurrency? I've heard about it. Yeah, I've heard people saying that. All right. So Dr. Sean Stein Smith has that. All right. Tell us what cryptocurrency is and why we need it versus just keeping our normal currency. All right. What's the advantages of cryptocurrency and what are some maybe disadvantages? All right.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Absolutely. So probably to try to categorize what actually cryptocurrency is it's a form of virtual money, right, that isn't issued by any sort of governmental entity at a very, very basic level, right? So I'll focus on Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is the biggest, baddest one out there. Everyone's heard of it. So it's a form of completely decentralized money, not issued, not controlled, not governed, minted by any one entity. Okay, so it's totally separate from any current financial governmental group. Great. So the upsides of that is that really, in terms of trying to actually send money, make payments, anybody who's ever had to send a ACH, wire transfer, bank transfer of any kind knows that it takes forever, costs you money to actually send money, and then the other individual on the other end has to wait 3, 5, 10 actual days to access that money. Whereas opposed to Bitcoin and other crypto assets out there, you are able to actually transmit that money in real time. And it costs exponentially less to send. It's faster. And the individual on the other end has access to it right away. Now, in terms of the obstacles, right, there are plenty of obstacles out there. And I'm sure all of us have heard of it, that it can be used for criminal activities. But any currency can be used for criminal activities, right? And probably the main issues right now is that the educational aspect of it is still up and coming. There is some ambiguity in terms of how it's going to be treated in terms of tax, property rights, all the rest. And then three, most companies aren't yet taking crypto as a form of payment. So it's an excellent idea. And it works, right? The IT side of it works, blockchain works, and the crypto assets work. It's just now trying to get people on board with it.
With the terminology, you just said blockchain. Mm-hmm. Where does that fit into the cryptocurrency?
Sure. So the best way to try to think about blockchain and crypto is that all of us use the internet every single day, right? And we're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all the rest, right? So the internet is that base phone. And then all of those other applications are the interaction points for us. Exact same thing. Blockchain is that underlying platform that Bitcoin and other crypto assets run on.
Is there an exchange that you can trade this, like the Dow or the NASDAQ?
Yes. So there are probably now actually quite a few crypto trading platforms out there, but the one that's probably the easiest and the most transparent one for anybody trading here in the US is actually Coinbase, which had its IPO back earlier in 2021. So it's a US public company, has to be audited, has to file. So that's probably the best way if you are interested, right, in trading, buying Bitcoin or other assets in this area to try to sort of get yourself underway.
Bitcoins, are they actual coins, like Bitcoin, or
No.
It's intangible. What are they?
So it's an entirely virtual item. So there are no Bitcoins that I can carry around with me. I wouldn't want to either. But yeah, I mean, the whole crypto asset space, there are not any bills or actual coins in there. It's all virtual.
You're actually buying this cryptocurrency because, like any other currency, you're hoping that you'll pay a certain price and the value of that cryptocurrency will go up, correct?
Phil, that's a big, big question that I've been talking about quite a bit for the last couple of years, right? Because Bitcoin had popped up to its all-time high back, I guess, at the end of March, early April, and it topped out at around 65 grand. And then it's been pretty much trading at about $30,000 to $38,000 for the last maybe 2 to 3 months. So yeah, I mean, on the one hand, right, Bitcoin and other crypto were actually built to be used as a currency option. But Bitcoin by its actual self is being treated mainly, as far as I've seen, as a asset class, as a investment choice, whereas other types of crypto assets are now actually being used to, you know, pay for goods, services, and to actually do transactions.
You're saying the value of the cryptocurrency has been coming down? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So why would I want to invest in cryptocurrency?
Well, Phil, so I have this great new idea for you here, right? The whole idea is to buy low, sell high.
That's an excellent sell low, actually.
All right, podcast is done. Made some news here today.
Well, you know what, Sean? Everything I buy is always high and I sell it low.
Right? I can't help you with that.
If you buy cryptocurrency and you sell it at a loss, all right, mm-hmm. is it a capital loss like selling securities?
You are able to take basically the exact same type of loss on that as if you were buying a share of equity that had dropped and you sold at a loss. So it's treated basically from a tax point of view as any other personal property.
Are there sections in the Internal Revenue Code that talk specifically about cryptocurrency?
So here's where it can get a bit hairy. There are no code sections. The IRS has issued a lot of FAQs. They issued a couple revenue rulings, but there is no IRS code component yet talking about crypto because, as you know, probably, hopefully, the IRS code has to be passed by Congress, which isn't able to do anything right now. So there are no components of the formal code dealing directly with crypto, but there is other guidance out there, out of the IRS.
Well, does that leave the IRS to disallow losses? Being that they don't have specific code, they have regulations done? No. Because the regulations would interpret the code.
So the best piece of advice that I've been giving people, and obviously crypto tax has been a hot topic the last couple of years, is that, you know, they've issued their FAQs, rulings, and if you can build a good case for your following of them or your interpretation of them, then you are going to be good, probably, until the IRS has a new head or, you know, a new point of view on this.
Someone got into my credit card last week, and I bought, supposedly, from them, some cryptocurrency, okay? And I got a notice that they were going to deliver it, all right, the next week. Now, it was a scam, we found out. But, you know, if I want to invest in blue chip stocks, I know which ones are considered blue chip, all right?
Sure.
Yep. Are there blue chip blockchain? As a blue chip currency, all right, are some better than other that have less risk?
That would depend on how you want to classify risk, right? So if you're talking about crypto like Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, all of those do trade basically like commodities, right? Mm-hmm. They are driven mainly by headlines, policy, because they don't have any underlying cash flows, all the rest. So if you're talking about risk in terms of upside risk, downside risk, yes, there are higher risk coins out there, as opposed to if you are actually trying to dip your toes into crypto to buy some to maybe use at, I don't know, some coffee shop, pizza place, whatever, there are privately issued coins or tokens
because
that are lower risk in terms of their actual price volatility.
At the Safeway, which we have where we live, they have a machine where you can buy cryptocurrency.
Yep.
First of all, why would I buy cryptocurrency and pay Safeway, okay? And then, all right, I could just pay them with a credit card, you know, backed up by dollars, all right? Why would I even want to consider going to that machine, buying cryptocurrency, and will Safeway accept it for cash, or they don't have to?
That all depends. I'm not familiar if their corporate policy is that they take crypto, but if they have a Bitcoin or crypto ATM or a option to buy it, at their store, I would assume that they're only going to sell crypto options that are able to be used at the store, right? So in terms of why a individual, you, me, you know, Adam Jones, right, is going to be interested in buying crypto at a Bitcoin ATM, right, or at a crypto ATM, that's more to gain exposure right now, as opposed to really on a average Tuesday, it being better right now. But it's also important to point out, right, Phil, that on the back end, right, because the, you know, Bitcoin ATMs, I know they have some around here in the city, Jersey City has some, Hoboken has some. And so all of that is awesome for optics and headlines and all that. But on the back end, right, there are firms, Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, now are all authorizing people to use crypto to actually do transactions. So it's not really as abstract an idea. And you actually are able to do it now basically as easily as using dollars.
If I go and buy groceries at Safeway, all right, mm-hmm. and I want to pay them in cryptocurrency, right? If I didn't, I'd give them dollars, all right?
Sure. Yep.
Is there an equivalent? Like, is a dollar, US dollar, $1? Equivalent, what do they call the currency for cryptocurrency?
Yeah, I mean, it would depend. All right, so Phil, I have some good news and some bad news. So there are...
I don't want to hear the bad news. I really don't. No, go ahead.
I'm giving it to you anyway.
Okay.
So there are privately issued coins out there backed on a one-to-one basis by the US dollar. So there are coins out there. We have Tether, which is not technically backed exactly, but we got Tether, we have Paxos, Circle USD, are all backed by US dollars. And so they are able to be used as the dollar equal. Now, if we're talking about Bitcoin, though, that's a whole other animal.
All right, wait a minute. Cryptocurrency is the overall
name.
Bitcoin is a form of cryptocurrency?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's, you think of Bitcoins, but if I have a food bill of $100, okay. All right. How would, you know, if I pay the cashier in cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. right. Are they going to be smart enough to know how much cryptocurrency I have to give them for an equivalent of a $100 purchase?
So yeah. Well, if they are offering to actually take, if they're offering to take payment in that form, yes, right? Because then all of that isn't being done at the store, right? The actual cashier isn't doing it. Then it would be the equivalent of paying with, you know, Apple Pay or any other type of sort of mobile payment option. You would just tap it on the Uzi there at the actual checkout, the actual tablet there, and then you'd be on your way.
Elon Musk, a few weeks ago, probably longer than that, all right, bought a lot of cryptocurrency. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Why did Elon Musk buy all that cryptocurrency?
Well, I would not dare to try to understand his own, you know, outlook. But the overall comments were that, one, that it was not him personally buying it. It was his company bought it. And his company, Tesla, bought, I guess, $1.5 billion worth at that time of Bitcoin back at the end of February or early March. And so basically his own outlook was that, one, it was a good way to earn a equitable rate of return on his otherwise low returning assets parked in US dollars, right? One. And that, two, that he's a believer overall of crypto being used as a medium of doing business going forward. And three, it was awesome for optics.
Did he make money on it?
At the time, yes. Now I don't know what his cost per coin was, so he's probably back at about break even now.
Okay. Well, you see, if he loses a few million,
I don't feel bad for him, really.
Yeah. Yeah, we could run a telethon for him, but you know, he doesn't need it. Let's talk about also. I mean, a lot of people I've heard on CNBC, the financial news arm of NBC. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, so-called experts there, say they don't like, I don't know what, is Jim Cramer, I don't know if he is pro-cryptocurrency or against it. Do you happen to know?
So yeah, so he's actually gone back and forth, and he had bought Bitcoin at some point previously, and then at some point during 2021, I forget when exactly, he was actually quite public that he had actually sold his Bitcoin to pay off his mortgage on his house. So he had been in it, and then I believe he's out of it now totally.
So what's his position on it now? Is he still good?
He goes back and forth, yeah. As he does with everything. So
is this like, you know, because people say it's like Monopoly money, right? That's what it is. It's, you know, it's you basically taking this currency. A lot of people just don't understand it, mm-hmm. right? And they just figure, hey, you can just, you know, go print some cryptocurrency, all right? And if you need it, by the way, do you sell those counterfeiting machines? I just wanted to know.
We can talk about that offline, Phil.
No, I mean, what do people, you know, what's their concern? It has a lot of volatility, correct?
Yes. If you're talking about Bitcoin, then yes. Yes, there has been quite a lot of volatility. But Bitcoin is only one of now about 12,000 cryptocurrencies.
Really?
Yeah.
What's a cryptocurrency that isn't volatile?
So I would say any of these privately issued stablecoins tend to have much lower volatility because they're built to be pegged directly to the dollar or gold to help them be able to be used as a medium of doing business. The biggest one that's out there by far is the USDT, a token issued by a firm called Tether, which I know has had some issues in the past with their audits and all the rest, but they have become much more transparent as opposed to 2018 or so. So yeah, I mean, there are absolutely options out there if you do want to get into crypto, if you want to buy some, hold some that don't have that, you know, agita inducing factor of, you know, $8,000 swings.
I know if I want to buy stock, I obviously have a stockbroker. What is the type of person that buys cryptocurrency? I mean, if you were to listen to the beginning here, do you think you're sort of scaring people with this investment?
Well, it's actually quite interesting that the biggest component of crypto investors, buyers, users tend to be in the under 40 age bracket and tend to be more tech oriented anyway. So it's basically like any other new tool, right? The individuals that have bought the first iPhone back in, 2007, 2008, were almost always going to be those under 40, you know, tech forward, tech comfortable people. So it isn't really too different from any other new technology tool.
Well, you are one of those CPAs 40 under 40, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I try to be, so.
How old are you now? About 55 or whatever?
Yeah. Feels that way.
But anyway. Yeah. All right. So these people, the under 40 is generally the purchaser of the cryptocurrency or Bitcoin.
Yes, correct. All right. Yes, correct.
Now, why is that? Because if it goes down in value, all right, they have enough years ahead of them to make up for the loss. Is that what you're looking?
I would assume so, yes.
Just more risk takers?
Probably both. They have a higher risk appetite and they have more time to make up if it goes, you know, under.
Do people use cryptocurrency to fund their pension plans, their retirement plans?
So that's a interesting question because actually right now under the current IRS tax law, you are not able to contribute Bitcoin or other crypto directly into any IRA products. But the only way that you can is if you run a self-directed IRA, which is basically a IRA managed by a non-traditional. So there are some ways out there, and there are some big institutional players that have started to allocate to it. But as far as individuals doing it, I would say that you can, but that has not really caught on yet.
Is the IRS trying to make it hard for people to invest in cryptocurrency? I mean, because one, there's really no internal revenue code, all right? Do you know the position of Congress as far as cryptocurrency? What's their feeling about it?
Sure. So as far as the position of U.S. lawmakers go, there actually is a blockchain caucus that I guess sprung up back around 2017 or so. But there are quite a few folks in Congress for, I'm sure, their own good reasons that are not pro-blockchain or pro-crypto at all.
Do you know anybody? Can you mention a name who's against it? I mean,
yeah, I would say that probably Senator Warren has probably come out as the highest profile anti-crypto individual. And I believe that her or her office or her committee has issued a order. And I don't know how much power this actually has, but I saw that she has given crypto exchanges, I believe until July 28th, to come up with ways to handle crypto better. So she's probably the highest profile person who has come out against crypto, arguing that, you know, it's not transparent, that it could cause more economic harm than good, yeah, and it's not regulated and all of that.
That sounds valid to me. Why do you think that's not valid? It's not regulated. All right. What's your position on that?
I would not say that it's always going to be a great investment choice for everybody, but in terms of it being able to cause economic damage, I mean, so can online gambling. And in terms of it being used for criminal activities, by far the most commonly used currency for crime is the US dollar. And you aren't able to actually trace US dollars either. It's the most untraceable form of currency out there. And then three, in terms of actually not being regulated, that's a bit of a false narrative, right? Right, because crypto is regulated. We have the biggest U.S. trading platform out there, Coinbase, is now a SEC registered and compliant company. There are crypto futures forwards that are all regulated by those authorizing bodies. The IRS has come out and issued some form of guidance on it and has really been trying to crack down on the crypto tax avoidance people. And ultimately, the argument that it can be used for criminal activities because it can't be traced has been disproven now on a few high-profile occasions. Most notably back, and I think it was in May or in June, that the FBI was able to, within about a week, recover the, I guess, $4.5 million of Bitcoin paid out as part of that Colonial Pipeline hack. So, I mean, and obviously being U.S. Congress, there is some optics also being used here at play, headlines, rhetoric, but there are valid, I would argue, points that sort of undermine those arguments.
Did the Colonial Pipeline shut down because it was clogged with Bitcoins?
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, full. Yep.
All right. Now, it always amazes me how, you know, they say, gee, the Colonial Pipeline has been shut down, all right? Within 3 to 4 minutes, all the gas stations have raised their prices.
I know. It was insane.
They must have a hotline to the pipeline.
I guess.
I'm here in South Carolina, and usually this is inexpensive gasoline. And I have to put premium in my car, and I paid, which I thought was low, $3.45 yesterday, all right? In Maryland, it's like $4.55, close to $5. I think the oil companies are trying to get back at us for the fact that we were not driving during the pandemic. So
you know what? That could be it.
But that's another story. Okay.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager's CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager's CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.